Praise the Lord. I am so thankful to be here this morning and to worship the Lord with each and every one of you out here. And welcome visitors. We're glad you're here today. And if you sense in your heart the Lord tugging to come on back, come on back. Amen. And praise the Lord. Glory to God. I really appreciate our music people, instrumentation, the singers. Wow, we're blessed.
Yes.
We're blessed, I'll tell you what. It isn't the size, it's the anointing that we desire. And I want to just say happy birthday, Jesus.
Amen.
You say, well, that pastor, he's already off kilter. He's talking to himself. Nope. Jesus is here.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is here. And so, Jesus, we love you and we say happy birthday and we praise your mighty name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, celebrating the birth of Jesus, the message. Celebrating the birthday of Jesus. I thought it might be to start it out this morning. I thought it might give a little chuckle here about you know how children are precious to us, and things they misunderstand often are really cute, aren't they? For instance, three small boys were in a Christmas play at school. They represented the three wise men, and they were to give their gifts to baby Jesus. The first boy stepped forward, held out his gift in his hand, and said, "Gold." The second boy stepped forward, held out his gift, and said, "Myrrh." The third boy stepped out toward them and held out his gift, and he said, "Frank sent this." But that's children, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We love children.
Amen.
We thank God for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you enjoy the classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life? Isn't that a great movie? Wow, I love it. It gets me every single time I watch it. It never gets old to me. But I was thinking about George Bailey. He's played by Jimmy Stewart. He jumped into the icy water. I'm not going to go through the whole movie, by the way. But he jumped into the icy water. Another man jumped ahead of him, and George saved that man's life, if you remember the story. The man turned out to be an angel named Clarence Oddbody, who was trying to earn his wings. George declared to Clarence that he wishes he had never been born. And in an effort to help George see the value of his life, Clarence the angel showed George what the world would be like if he had never been born. Have you ever heard anybody say to you throughout your life, "I wish I'd never been born"? Hmm? You might want to take that back. Throughout the rest of the movie, viewers discovered that George Bailey had actually lived a wonderful life. And he had made a significant impact on his family, his friends, and the whole community. The movie wonderfully points out the difference that one person can make. And everyone in here this morning, you're wonderfully and beautifully made according to the Word of God.
That's right.
And every one of you in this world, God had brought you into this world, created you for a very specific purpose.
Amen.
Many times we waste our life away, don't we? Yeah. We waste it away. But we realize that God has got a purpose for every individual. He is not a respecter of persons. His desire is for you, from your childhood all the way up, to be used to impact the world around you.
That's correct.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So as we think today about the birth of Jesus, let's consider this question, what if Jesus had never been born? Just think about that. What if he had never been born? Can we even conceive of that? We saw the beautiful presentation this morning of the mother bearing a young child and everything, and Jesus was there at that moment. But just think if he had not been born. What a difference that would make. What if there was no virgin birth? You know, many times we take that for granted. We don't realize the importance of what we have as Christians here in this world that God sent, like Renee put it so beautifully too. God, the Father sent his Son. to die on a cross for you and I? What if there was no baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger? You know, how many of you have ever watched the Grinch movie? I'm not going to keep bringing up movies to you, but I was just thinking of that when I got to this part of my message about Jesus laying swaddling clothes in a manger. The Grinch, if you remember part of it, he picked up a package and he held it to his head and shook it. And he said, "This is our enemy." And I can imagine Jesus laying in that manger and Satan seeing the birth of Jesus, looking down and saying to his demon cohorts, "This is our enemy." Made me think of that. But Jesus is not our enemy.
No, amen.
He's not our enemy. But just think about that. No angels then, if Jesus had never been born, there'd been no angels coming. There'd been no announcement of the birth by the shepherds. That wouldn't have happened. The shepherds would not have made that nocturnal trip to Bethlehem that night. Imagine the last 2,000 years of life on this earth without the influence of the life of Jesus. Can we even imagine it? Look at the way the world is right now, and Jesus is here. That's why he came. There'd be no heart change, there'd be no healings, no deliverances, no hope, and there'd be no future for any one of us in sitting in here. That wouldn't be there. And that's why if you're in here this morning, you walked in here this morning and you're depressed, oppressed, and you see no future, maybe you're going through things in your life and you realize, what's the use? There's no future. There is a future and a hope for a Christian.
Amen.
Jesus is our hope. The Colossians says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." When we focus on him, the one who is born, we have a future and a hope. Amen?
Amen.
We got a lot to be thankful for. I believe Jesus has made an incredible impact in this world. Wouldn't you say that?
Amen.
What if we could have a virtual reality experience? So that we could see what this world would be like and what each of our lives would be like if Jesus had never been born. Now, I knew the track I was on before I gave my life to Christ at 22 years old. I knew the path I was on. But just think, if I had no hope and no future and Jesus wouldn't have come in and I gave my life to him when he was calling me. But just think about your life. What would it be like if Jesus was not ever born? Some of the first things we would notice would be the absence of so many hospitals, colleges, and relief organizations, all of which have been started by Christians because of Jesus. That's why they're there. The world doesn't care about us. Did we care about the world? No. But because of Jesus, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. As a great problem as poverty and sickness are today, the situation would be far worse if it had not been for Christianity. You know, when people ask for prayer and they say, you know, why didn't God heal me? Why didn't God do this? Why isn't God doing this in my life? Think if Jesus wasn't here, because he already did all those things for us on the cross. But just think if he had not been born and we couldn't be calling it. We think our situations are bad now. We're living in a fallen world. And because of Jesus, we're where we're at today. Thank the Lord. Amen. We would be able to see how the Christian faith has held off the moral decay of nations for centuries. It's because of Christianity that this world isn't totally obliterated already. That's why we never take our brothers and sisters for granted. I thank God for every brother and sister in Christ who committed their lives to Jesus Christ. They're our family.
That's right.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth. Who is?
Jesus.
But if the salt had lost his savior, with with shall be salted. It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. We are the light of the world. Who is the light of the world?
Yeah.
We are, praise the Lord. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We, the Christian, is the light of the world. We're the light of the world when we're living the life, the Christian life. When we're living according to what Jesus has called us to live, we are the light of the world. John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. See, it's Jesus that makes me a light. It's his righteousness, his goodness in me that makes me a light. And I'm to glorify him in all that I do. Praise the Lord. But as great as the moral decay and losses would be, it would have been even more significant if Jesus had never been born. We would not have a clear view of God. John 1:1 reads, listen to this now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you hear that? The Word was God. This is a very strong assertion that Jesus is God.
Amen.
And verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And these verses tell us one of the most amazing truths that have ever happened. God came to our little world and became one of us. What a loving God. He became one of us. God came into the flesh as the Son of God, who we know as Jesus Christ. He became like us so he would know what it feels like to suffer the pain and the agony, the loneliness, and everything else that you and I experience in this world. He gave up heaven to come all the way to earth to be like us, to reconcile us to him, and he could experience what we experience. What a loving God. Hallelujah. We got so much to be thankful for at Christmas. Colossians 1:15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That's why I am not ashamed to tell people that I love the Lord Jesus Christ, in here or out there. Makes no difference to me. The word image in that scripture right here, Colossians 1:15. This is a clear affirmation of the absolute deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is whatever God is. Whatever God is. Spiritual, omnipotent, omniscient, holy. All the attributes of the eternal God in Scripture is Jesus.
Amen.
They're Jesus. Every one of them. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. And he did that by himself, by the way. He didn't have any help from you or I to do that. He purged our sins. He did it all by himself. We take no credit one day when we stand before this mighty God. He did it all. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. See, Jesus cleared up the faulty images that people have about God. For example, in Jesus' day, non-Jews had many wrong views of God. They didn't believe there was one creator God. They believed in multiple gods and goddesses, Zeus and Aphrodite. That's the type of gods they were believing in. They believed these gods were simply more powerful versions of themselves, which meant they were prideful, deceitful, vengeful, and full of lust. You ever see the advertisements, especially the makeup ones today, and this lady comes out there and her skirt's blowing in the wind, and they got the big thing, she's a goddess? We worship ourselves sometimes, don't we? Even today, there's a lot of wrong thinking about God. there are people like Shirley MacLaine who believes she is God. Yeah. I'm God. You're God. We're all God. Every one of us. She's out on a limb, by the way. And there are people in our day who believe in Star Wars theology. They think God is just some kind of force or energy. May the force be with you. Whatever they do. May the force be with you. That's what people think that God is, even in our world today. They think he's a force. Maybe you have a wrong image of what God is like in here this morning. Maybe you think God is like judgmental. Father waiting for you to mess up so he can punish you and hit you over the head with a bat. There's people who believe that's the way God is, and they live for him out of fear because they think if I trip up one time, God's going to take a swing at me. But that's not the God of the Bible.
That's right.
When you and I falter, we sin, we do something that isn't correct according to what God would desire for our lives, he isn't ready to beat us over the head.
No.
He's ready for you and I to come to him and say, Father, forgive us, for we have sinned. And the Bible says he is just and faithful to forgive. Maybe you think God is like Santa Claus, who wants to grant your every wish. Just pray, and God will do everything you want as long as you've been good, a good boy or girl. And there's people that are saying, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed to God for that new Mercedes, and I never got it. What kind of a God is he? Because they think he's a Santa Claus. God didn't promise us Mercedes. I'm happy with my Ford. But you know something? God did promise us he'd meet all of our needs.
That's right. Not our wants.
Not our wants. And many times he gives us our wants because he loves us and he blesses us. But he is promised that he would meet every need that you and I have in this life. If you're sitting in here today and there's things in your life that you need, whatever that may be, to survive, to live in this earth, you can run to Jesus.
Amen.
You can trust him. Maybe you think God is like a gentle old grandfather who loves everybody and doesn't really care what we do. And there's many like that today, even in churches. I've talked to them. You can live any way you want. It doesn't make any difference. We have a loving God. And that's how they perceive God. Do whatever you want. Once you get saved, you can live any way you want. That is not the God of the Bible.
Yes.
Or that God in some remote being out there somewhere on the edge of the universe who really doesn't care about us very much, and he's not even involved in our lives. And there's actually a ministry going around teaches that. Like Bette Midler, for instance, she sings, from a distance, God is watching us from a distance. Well, you know, Bette Midler ought to read her Bible, if she's got one. Amen?
Amen.
Because I found in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
That's right.
He's not way out there somewhere looking down on us. He's here this morning. And right now he's looking at your and my heart. That's how close he is. Children, God sees you exactly where you are. And he sees your heart. And he loves you. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 8:27, I had to bring this one in too because there's others too. It says, Romans 8:27, it says, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Again, he's not looking at us from a distance. He's very close.
Yes.
And he observes everything. Praise the Lord. Jesus himself even said in John 14:9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? And even today, many Christians sit in churches and they say they know Jesus, but they really don't. Because they haven't been reading the Word. And they make Jesus and what they want him to be what he actually isn't. And we need to read the word. Amen?
Amen.
We marvel to think that the defenseless baby in the manger was the very presence and glory of God that came to earth. But that is what the Bible teaches us. That's exactly what happened. So what do we see more clearly now that Jesus has been born? First, because of Jesus, we clearly see that God is near. And I just said that. He's near. He's right here this morning. He lives within the born-again Christian's heart and life. If you're truly born again. That's his word. He promised to come and live within us. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Because of Jesus' birth, we know that God is not some distant daily deity living on the edge of the universe looking through a Hubble telescope, but a God who is near. We're trying to find God, by the way, through the Hubble telescope. But he's right here. They're looking too far out. Jesus was, his title is Emmanuel, which is God is with us. That's his name, Emmanuel. Through Jesus, we know that God is right here. God is with us as we worship this morning. God listens to us as we pray. There's people in here this morning that get a prayer in your heart, and that prayer is continuous. It's saying, I need you, Lord. I need the touch from you. I need your strength. I need your guidance in my life. I need to sense your love. I'm lonely, whatever. God is here, and he's answering that. Because he said he not only hears our prayers, but he answers them. God is with us when we sleep. He's with us when we work. He's with us when we play. Wherever we are, whether we are aware of God's presence or not, we feel God's presence. He's here. He's near to us. And you don't have to feel him all the time. You just have to know he's here. That's faith. God said, the just shall walk by faith. Jesus told his disciples he would be with us always, Matthew 28:20. Teaching them, observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen? There's a lot of people in fear in our world today, wondering what's going to happen. For the Christian, we should not be living in fear, but knowing that our God is with us to the very end.
Amen. Sure he is.
We have nothing to fear. He is with us to the very end. We put our trust and our faith in him. He has got the world in his hands. He knows what's going on. He's only allowing things to happen to go as he is getting ready to come back for his church. He knows everything that's going on. He's not shocked by anybody and the powers that think that they're the powers. Well, guess what? God put them in power. He allowed them to be there to fulfill his purpose upon this earth, preparing this world for his soon return. Jesus even promised those who follow him that he would not only be present with them, but would actually live within them through his Holy Spirit. See, that's the part of it is so awesome, because we were dead to Christ because of what happened in Genesis in the garden. Men died that very day. Adam and Eve, not physically, but spiritually. The Spirit of God no longer dealt with them. And now to reconcile us to him, Jesus had to come to earth. And when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, repent of our sins, he said he will come and live within us and sup within us. We have a new spirit. The Holy Spirit. Paul stated in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You can't get any closer than that. You can't get any closer. Second, because of Jesus, we clearly see that God is love. Some people think God is out to get them or to punish them for their wrongdoings, but Jesus shows us otherwise in his word. Through Jesus, we see God's incredible love for us. Amen? It's in there. He repeatedly tells us his love for you and I. The Son of God was willing to give up his throne in heaven to take on frail human body, to be born a helpless infant into a humble circumstance, a stable, a manger, to grow up and endure temptation, to face the evil, the injustice of this world, and to die in our place. Think what they did to our Lord and Savior. Why? Because of God's incredible love for us. Think about that. He endured the humiliation of the cross and the beatings and the rudeness and the anger and the hatred of this world and took it up on himself, our sin, because he loves us so much. See, I want you to be aware of this, people. Sin is what destroys us and separates us from the Lord. Sin does that. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Sin will destroy us. It will separate us from the very one we need for salvation. Sin will do that. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Look what he gives us. But sin will separate that from us. People living in sin will cry out when they get caught or whatever. Even people within their church say, "God doesn't love me." Because they don't. God's not going to accept sin into heaven. That's not going to be done. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We were an enemy of his when he died for us. Every one of us. Third, because of Jesus, we clearly see that God is faithful. God is a faithful God. Amen. Through Jesus, we realize God kept the promises he made to the people in the Old Testament scriptures when you read through those. The Old Testament, God promised he would save his people and create a kingdom which would never end. He promised that he would raise up a descendant from King David who would deliver his people from evil and transform their hearts so they could love God and love one another. He did that. This person would even be the light to the Gentiles. Again in Luke 2:32, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." That's you and I that God uses. Through Jesus, we know God kept every promise. If Jesus had never been born, then we would never know or have these things, would we? If he'd never been born. Because Jesus was born, we have a clear view of God. We clearly see that God is nearer than we can ever imagine and that God is full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We can see that. And those are good things to know, amen? And there's those that don't know, and that's what our job is, to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ and his love for mankind. If Jesus had never been born, we could not have a personal relationship with the Lord. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him," did you hear that? "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." God came to earth as a child so we could become a child of God. God became like one of us so we could become like him. What an awesome God we serve, people. Are you excited?
Yes.
That wasn't very Pentecostal. We have to be excited about Jesus. If we're not excited about Jesus, why would anyone else want him? I'm excited about Jesus. I'm thrilled about him, and I thank God I live my life for him. He's changed me from what I used to be. He's delivered me from an eternal hell because I committed my life to him and received his salvation for what he did on Calvary's cross, and he saved me for all eternity. I'm excited about Jesus because he is the one who protects me, takes care of my every need, delivers me, and loves me unconditionally.
Yes.
How can you not be excited?
Yes.
We should have people jumping up on the chairs. No chandeliers, but we could hang on those lights. They're probably a little hot, but you know.
They could roll on the aisle.
There you go.
Let's do it.
We vacuumed them. Praise the Lord. You might think, what's the big deal with becoming part of God's family? What God is interested in, He's interested in a relationship. Isn't that awesome? How many like a relationship?
Oh, yeah.
We love our families, don't we? The relations of our family. It's the enemy who splits and divides and brings anger, bitterness, and hatred. But God come to bring us together, to bring peace and joy and happiness in our lives. And that's what He wants between you and I. He does not want us to be His enemy. He wants us to love Him. So He made a way to make that happen. Ultimately, God isn't interested in religion. Not one bit. Religion is following a set of rules and laws. What God is interested in is a relationship. 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's concerned about that. Romans 5:10, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
We're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ because of His love for us. His shed blood is what washes our sins away. It isn't how good we are or good works we do. It's the shed blood of Jesus that washes us clean, and only that. It's His righteousness, not ours. We have none.
Hallelujah.
Being in God's family means we're in a relationship with God like a mother or a father to a child. You can be a religious and you can go to church. You can read your Bible, get baptized, take communion, pay your tithes. But if you don't have a relationship with God, you've missed the whole point of why Jesus came and died on Calvary's cross. None of those things save you. None of them. They only help us to live the Christian life. That's why they're in place. But the main thing is a relationship with Jesus. And if you don't feel worthy, listen now. If you don't feel worthy to have a relationship with God and be part of His family, then pay close attention to what I'm going to say. None of us are worthy.
That's right.
None of us are worthy. Not one of us. And I've heard people say that to me. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not either. None of us are. Is all that is an excuse for not wanting to live for Jesus.
Right.
I got to be honest with you. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many?
All.
Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. How many are not righteous?
None.
There you go. Boy, you're reading the same Bible I got. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how much you and I have messed up in our lives, disobeyed God in the past, because Jesus was born and He gave His life as a sacrifice so we can find forgiveness and be in a relationship for Him. What an awesome God. It's so simple that multitudes are going to choose hell over heaven. And Jesus made it so simple. Whosoever will, come unto me, and I will no wise cast out. John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that He, through the world, through Him, might be saved. He made it possible. But as John's gospel reminds us, we don't automatically become a part of God's family. We have to receive God's gift of Jesus.
Yes.
I had one guy, one town, a customer of mine that I was calling on, said to me, I can live any way I want because I confess that I believe in Jesus and He died for all of us anyway and I get to go to heaven. I said, wrong. I said, show me in the scriptures. Show me in the Word of God what you just told me and I will believe you. He couldn't answer me. So I answered him according to this.
Amen. There you go.
He didn't say much more after that. And we have to realize it's not automatic. God requires something.
Yes.
Is all He requires. Come on to me. Repent. Turn from your wicked way. Turn from your way of life, even your good life. Even if you're a really good person, turn from that, and your salvation comes through me, and I will receive you into myself, and I will come and live within you and forgive you.
Yeah.
And you'll have eternal life. You will be born again.
Amen.
See how simple that is? That's all he requires. I'm almost done here, people. Praise the Lord. At Christmas time, you sometimes see the same God wrapped his gift to, referring to Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes. Many of us will be giving and receiving gifts this Christmas, but as we know, a gift is useless unless we open it and accept it. That's what the world's got to understand, and even Christians sometimes. We have to receive. We have to receive Jesus. Jesus said, whosoever will, come unto me. We got to receive him. And then we got to open his word. And he tells us what's in that package. Eternal salvation. Abundant life. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. Many of us will be giving those gifts, and we need to remember that Jesus gave his life. He's the gift of the world. We have to choose to accept God's gift. Many reject it today, and they keep on rejecting it. We do so by believing. We receive him by repenting, confessing, and asking forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. His Spirit will come and live within you when you do that. And just to touch on that too, by the way, because there's the oneness movement believes that you need to be baptized to get to heaven. If you've been taught that, not scriptural.
That's right.
It's not in here.
That's right.
We're baptized into Christ. Baptism is simply a step of obedience, showing we've committed our lives to Christ as a testimony to the world.
Yes.
We go in and we come up. The death and resurrection of Jesus, that's what it's about, but it doesn't save. In conclusion, if we open and accept the gift of Jesus, then we will experience what Jesus called the abundant eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Why would anyone want to reject that?
Yeah.
We can see what sin is doing to our world today, can't we? We can see what sin has done into our families today, right? We can see. Jesus said, I'm going to come. I'm going to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life for all eternity with this loving God. Aren't you excited about that? No more heartache, no more tears, crying, suffering, anger, bitterness, none of it. It's all gone because of Jesus, what he did for us. Unlike George Bailey, who didn't realize the impact he had made on others, Jesus knew the difference his life would make on us. Hallelujah. That's why he gave up the glory of heaven for the darkness of this world. That's why he died on the cross for our sins and was resurrected. What the angel of God told Mary that day has come true in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 and 33. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him unto the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Praise the Lord. When the angel of God told Joseph that day, it has come true also, Matthew 1:20-21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So today and every day, we need to celebrate Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. And I guess we're going to have a song now. Oh. Praise the Lord. I will move out of the way.